is November 3rd, 2012, day three at the Virginia Film Festival here in lovely Charlottesville, Virginia. This is Sean McCord. I'm in the Main Street Arena where you can come by to pick up your tickets, your programs, your tchotchkes, everything Virginia Film Festival related. I've been talking to directors, filmmakers, industry professionals, and fortunate enough to get the occasional esteemed actor like Mark Singer. He's sitting across from me. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming here. Mark, you're here because of a film called House Hunting, which screens tonight, Saturday at 10 p.m. at the Paramount Theater. Welcome to Charlottesville. Well, first of all, let me ask you, have you been to this part of Virginia before?
I have. In fact, when we filmed House Hunting,
that was
my first introduction to Charlottesville. I'd heard about it. But I have to say it was a real surprise to find that Charlottesville not only lived up to but exceeded all of the descriptions about the vibrancy of the community and the beauty of the natural setting, and it was real fun, I have to say, and quite an eye-opener being here in this part of the country and filming.
It really, people who come to the festival know it really is a gem. I mean, the festival itself, what we're able to accomplish here, being in this part of the country that's both so historic and also so lovely. And you've been around. You grew up in Vancouver. You live in Texas. You went to school in Washington. You lived in L.A. for many years.
Right.
And now, we'll get to what you're doing right now in a while. But you've had an opportunity to see much of this country as well as much of the world.
Right.
But let's talk about House Hunting now. 2 days ago, I spoke to Eric Hurt, the director. And he talked about his aspirations as a filmmaker and how this came about. But tell me how you got involved in this project.
You know, I was very fortunate in that Eric had seen a production of The Taming of the Shrew that I was in actually decades ago.
Last century.
and then I think also he and his family were fans of a television series called V. That I originated.
It was the original V back in the
80s. In the 80s, right. I was one of the original cast members of that. And so he called me in when he was in L.A. casting for this. I went in, met him, and read, and I don't think too well, but I went in and read, and he saw something in me, that's what happened, and here I am. I asked him later, as a matter of fact. I asked him, why did you cast me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he left it in the usual director's kind of way. He said Clark Gable was dead and you were my second choice.
Of course, now people who are listening say, well, Mark Singer, I've never heard of that name before. Of course, you're a familiar name on familiar face on TV. You were V, as you mentioned. You were the Beastmaster.
Yeah, the Beastmaster. Yeah, yeah.
So certainly you've done your share of television work and film work. So this is a small, independent, privately funded film,
right,
which is a far cry from some of the high-profile things you've done before. So talk about working in a small film like this, working in a privately funded film with a director with such a vision that he's trying to do, and what it was like on the set, what it was like being here in Virginia.
Sure. I'll tell you the key to any good film is, number one, what's on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Hurt is an amazingly good writer. He has a quality in his writing that's like life itself. It's almost eerie in the way that it echoes, the way conversations go on, like pulling taffy. You know, you start a conversation with somebody and then about halfway through you find yourself folding back into that same conversation and pulling those same ideas back down through to the end of the conversation. And in an eerie setting like House Hunting, those conversations begin to kind of haunt us after a while in the audience, and we begin to feel a kind of a resonance and an echo that's a little eerie, and we begin to itch behind our ears, and we begin to wonder, who is this film about? Am I up there on the screen? It's a very, very good script. So it all starts with a good script.
Of course, and that's good to hear, because as I said, I had Eric here a couple of days ago, and he talked about, you know, the filmmaking process and what he wanted to do.
Well, he knows this. He also is what you might call, at this point in his career, a regionalist.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the Charlottesville area so well. In fact, this was filmed on the property of his childhood.
Right.
And so he was able to catch every nuance and every shadow and either... give you a sense of sparkling hope about them, or some eerie foreboding that that the winter months often bring on with the bleakness of the bare trees and so forth. And he made that setting, and he makes that house just hum with tension and foreboding in a way that that makes you wonder what it would be like in a real setting like that.
So in the past few years, by few years, I'm also talking about decades, we've seen horror films kind of, I don't even want to say horror films, we've seen thrillers
right.
merge into horror films, and horror films have become gory.
Right.
And it seems like each director is trying to outdo each other with exploding heads, body parts. And, you know, just sort of dead, gross things lying around. But this film isn't like this. This is like an old-fashioned psychological horror.
There's no question about it. The emphasis on this one is the chiller aspect of it. It is the idea that something is creepy in the situation, and that it sometimes manifests itself in ways that are violent and in ways that are bloody. But the blood and the violence come as a kind of an emphasis on the inner tensions that the people are going through, because everybody is confined in this film into a close quarter, and they have to live in isolation one with the other while a terrible thing seems to be closing in upon them inexorably day after day and night after night.
So, how'd you sleep during the filming?
I never sleep when I'm filming. I'm always the guy that wants to be there at 2 o'clock in the morning before they're even setting up the cameras. I'm ready to go.
So, were you able to see the dailies? Were you able to see some of the footage as they were shooting it, or do you not do that?
I prefer not to see myself in dailies. I think the best indicator of how the film is going is not how you see yourself in dailies, but it's the mood that's created on the set every day that you come to it. And every day that we came to House Hunting, Eric had created somehow and kept creating day after day after day this eerie sense of cold remove and a kind of compelling grip that we were all held in. So every day you came to the set, you knew you were in good hands.
So you read the script, you were obviously on the set, you saw the film being compiled day by day.
Right.
When you finally got to sit down and watch the film.
Yeah.
Were you still on the edge of your seat?
Yeah, I was. I was on. Sort of paradoxically, I was on the edge of my seat sometimes, or driven back into it at others, because the oppressive weight of what these people are going through is so intense. It is palpable in some strange way, and at the same time, the film never loses its entertaining rhythm and its entertaining pace, because after all, that's what the theater's supposed to do. It's supposed to make you excited and amused and entertained, even while you're being scared and horrified and made to reflect upon the darker corners of your own existence.
Now, I mentioned briefly your long TV career, you said that Eric had seen you in a production of Taming of the Shrew. You're a classically trained Shakespearean actor.
Right.
You've been at this for a while.
I have. I started out on stage, as a matter of fact, and my original, I guess you would say, inspiration for becoming an actor would be Laurence Olivier. That was the man that sort of ignited my imagination. I'd begun working on Shakespeare back in grade 5 in Texas, when I had no idea what Shakespeare was about. I was, running on the beaches of the Gulf of Mexico, and then suddenly my life changed when I discovered Shakespeare. So I've been at it for a long time, and I would say there isn't, and I can say this with absolute certainty, this is no hyperbole, there isn't a day that goes by that I'm not working on Shakespeare. Not a day.
Yeah. I have heard that before from actors, that Shakespeare is like a lifelong compulsion.
It is. I'm in discussion right now for a production of King Lear in about a year and a half or so.
And you're also teaching Shakespeare.
Right. It's funny, you hear when you're a younger actor and more, personally involved and more egocentrically involved and striving, as everybody does, to build a career, you hear people say there comes a time in life when you want to give back, and it's a little hard for a younger man to imagine. But I am at that time in life, and I do want to give back, and I feel that I know Shakespeare so well, and he's so foundational to every form of acting, no matter what it is, that when I get a chance to, I teach master's classes at the state universities or in actor studios or I've even taught some interdisciplinary things between performance arts between actors and musicians at the Heifetz Music Institute and so forth. Yeah, so I'm really I think there's something that I can offer as far as Shakespeare is concerned, and that's what I do.
So I have to ask. I apologize if this is a silly question, but when you come into a school and you're going to be teaching a master's class in Shakespeare,
right?
Is there a moment at the beginning where you have to go, yes, I was the Beastmaster.
Yes.
But I've also done all these other things.
I know, it's incongruous, I know. And I am struck by that a lot. It's hard for me to express how fulfilling a role the Beastmaster was in the past, and also how fulfilling it continues to be. It's a little like being the Lone Ranger. You know, you'll always be the Beastmaster. And on the one hand, that was art mirroring life. In order to play that sword-swinging guy who walked around 24 hours a day with a 500-pound Bengal tiger at his side, you had to, in the middle of winter, I might add, dressed in a leather hula skirt, you had to be...
Acting,
exactly. And swinging swords against guys that you'd never seen before, each of whom had a different rhythm and maybe a different internal engine driving them.
Wow.
You know, that really is art mirroring life. And there was a moment there in life when I was the Beastmaster. There's no question.
And can you still swing that sword with the best of them?
I do every morning. I get out there and do it every day. Absolutely.
So you were early in your career. You were
right.
Touring. Taming of the Shrew.
Right.
Quite a few accolades.
Right. Thank you.
Came to Los Angeles as a Shakespearean actor.
Right.
Slowly worked your way into a film. Actually, it wasn't that slow, was it? What you got down there? You were
right. I was fortunate enough. I think it was on the strength of the Taming of the Shrew that I came into Los Angeles and began to work immediately and began to enjoy, in looking back on it, enjoy a career that was blessed with some interactions that I'm stunned that that were available to me in those days.
You came in the 70s when a lot of the stars, people that we consider, you know, the greatest actors of the golden age,
right,
were still there and were still working, and you got to work with many of them.
I did. I the very first feature film I ever made was as co-star to Burt Lancaster in a film called Go Tell the Spartans, and he taught me so much about acting. And he said to me on the first day of filming, when I stood beside him thinking to myself, I can't believe it, I'm acting with Burt Lancaster, right in the middle of a take, he turned to me and he said, "You know, kid, when I was younger," and he flashed that smile and suddenly this old craggy face was beautiful and young again, he said, "When I was younger, all I had to do was come out on the set and say, 'Hey, baby,' ha 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 ha." He said he did it, and he said, "Well," he said, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Who could resist me?" And the director was standing off camera, aghast, thinking, where in the script are these lines? Bert is dressed as a soldier. And so he said, so Lancaster said, "Hey, baby." And then he said, "Well, who could resist me?" And then he stuck a cigar in his mouth and he said, "But as I've gotten older," he said, "it's forced me to learn how to act."
That's a wonderful story.
Yeah, he was a wonderful, wonderful, generous, lovely man. I enjoyed every moment of it. He tried to teach me to walk on my hands, which I have to say to this day has escaped me. But
that's right, because he was a circus performer.
At 70-something years of age, he got up on his hands and started walking around on his hands with a cigarette dangling from his mouth. And I was standing there going, "Wow, that's pretty good, and I wonder if I can do that." And the producer came over to me later and said, "What are you doing? What if he dies? You can't do that." Yeah.
We showed here at the Virginia Film Festival a few years ago, we showed The Swimmer.
Right.
Film that he
right,
made.
Sure.
In the 50s, when he was in his 50s,
right,
he spent the entire time
right
in his tiny little bathing suit.
Yeah, yep.
And I was sitting with a female friend of mine, and she said, "Oh, my God."
Yeah.
Even in his 50s.
Yeah.
His physique, but also just the charm of it and the charisma that
he that's one of the things that, you know, there was a different ethos in film in those days, a different kind of personality there, and I was fortunate enough to be able to come in and be influenced by them. You were asking whether I could still swing a sword, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, in those days, men were men.
Right.
And Burt Lancaster standing out there all day long in a bathing suit, jumping into swimming pools hours and hours and hours upon end in the freezing cold and in the biting wind, because that's always when you're in the water is when it's cold,
mm-hmm.
Exhibited some endurance that's just remarkable.
Legendary.
In the Beastmaster, we did it in the middle of the coldest winter in LA's history, all of that stuff with stunts and explosions and so forth, that's, in my opinion, that's just the commonplace stuff that actors bring to work with them every day. When you see John Wayne pounding across the desert with somebody riding tandem behind him on a horse, if that horse goes down, both of them are gone. And that wasn't considered a stunt. That's just what actors bring with them in their kit every day. And that's how I was raised. I was really fortunate, you know. I had a chance, you were talking earlier about when I got into L.A., I had a chance to work with Henry Fonda and Geraldine Page and Olivia de Havilland. You know, these are some pretty amazing personalities who all experienced that kind of
and
thing.
People who were fine actors and then became movie stars. And
you
mentioned Laurence Olivier.
Oh yeah,
I imagine as a Shakespearean actor, that
right.
must have been. Particularly meaningful to you.
Well, he typified a kind of holism as an actor, in that he was not only intellectually he couldn't be surpassed intellectually, I think, as an actor and as an artistic, poetic soul on the one hand, and on the other, he was a hell of an athlete, and there was nothing that he wouldn't do that was that wasn't dangerous. He once said, "If it isn't dangerous, why do it?" Yeah.
Well, you know, I could probably sit here and talk to you for hours about old movie stars from your career, but I know you've probably got places to go and people
okay.
to see. Want to mention again, you're here for House Hunting.
House Hunting.
Filmed here in the area.
Right.
Local filmmaker.
Eric Hurt. A man with, he should have a sparkling future ahead of him. This is an amazing auteur. And right here in this amazing gem of a community.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking to Mark Singer, the star of House Hunting, which screens tonight, Saturday at 10 p.m. at the Paramount. As part of the 25th anniversary Virginia Film Festival. So, did you just get in this morning? Have you had a chance to look around?
I got in last night. I recommend for everybody who travels that they should land in Concourse A of the Charlotte Airport, North Carolina, and run as fast as they can to the very last gate in Concourse E. And then have the lovely person behind the desk say the flight has just taken off. I suggest that as entertainment for everybody.
So I had to wonder how many people in the Charlotte airport looked up and said, "Wait a minute, wasn't that the Beastmaster that just..."
Yes, exactly. ran
past.
I hope there's not a tiger on his tail. Exactly.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for taking the time, for being here. I hope you enjoy the Virginia Film Festival, and I wish you a very successful screening tonight.
Thank you, Sean, very much.
All
I appreciate it.
Take care.